Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And you got Brett.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're back down here in the studios recording another episode on kind of a warm evening.
I think we got to make a correction from last episode. What season are we on?
This is season 5 of the Short Rod Show. And I tried to smooth that over. When you listen to it, you'll hear me do a little editor's cut.
Oh, you did cut some of that out?
I did do that, yeah. Okay. Because I'm like, gosh, we went back and forth on season 4, season 5. Can't decide. And then you said season 5, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's season 4. We started in 2019. It's 2023.
You skipped 2020 in there.
Yep. It's season 5. So here we are, episode 2.
Yep. Pound and Miller still.
Yep. Got a pseudo Sue here, and we're going to have a good old time tonight. What are we talking about, Brett?
Well, I was gonna touch a little bit first on how'd Halloween go for you guys.
Oh yeah, I got some stories.
Because I got my own story on Halloween. Mine's gonna be much different than yours.
Fishing related or actual Halloween? Okay. Oh, all right. Saving it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that'd be cool. What else are we talking about after that?
otherwise, I was gonna say let's start talking about big ticket items.
Okay.
So like, early on in the season, the way we kind of break this up is we talk a lot about gear because that's just, you know, that's when the deals are happening. That's when everyone's thinking about it, and we don't have ice yet anyways. So how are we going to be equipped, ready to rock and roll next season? So let's start talking out big ticket items, stuff that's going to run you a couple $100.
Yep.
Augers, flashers, fish finders, maybe suits, float suits.
Okay. How much time you got?
And how do you find those deals? I mean, I don't know that I'm going to break down exactly, you know, the ins and outs of all of it, but
well, we got some augers up on our laptop here. I think we'll do a little deep dive on some of the auger options because that's always exciting. But yeah, that's what the rest of the season is for. You guys can follow along with us, Facebook, all your podcasting platforms. Get on there, comment, like, subscribe, all that stuff. It really helps. It's cool to see that. We got some awesome comments on our little teaser post of you know, coming out. Waiting on episode 1 to come out. Everyone's just fired up. So that's awesome. Keeps us going. We appreciate it. Well, that sounds good. So I guess you already know about my Halloween.
Yeah, you just went out with the kids.
The night before, I went out fishing, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I sent you the picture of the fish I caught.
Oh, shit.
I was not even talking about that.
But
so are we actually talking about fishing?
Yeah, talk about fishing. Because long story short, I went fishing on Halloween instead of going trick-or-treating with the kids.
All right. I like it. Well, I'm trying to read. I can't read you. We're sitting
Don't look at each other.
But okay. So when was it? It would be the 30th?
The 29th. Yep.
I got an invite, went out with our buddy Sean.
Walleye Willie.
Yep. My brother and I were out there. We waded out a little ways, got our waders on, got out in the water. It's like 50.
Describe that area, the point or the structure you were fishing.
It's a sandy point. Okay. It's a sandy bottom, but it has a pretty good drop off.
Close to deep water.
And it's got some good structure around it. You can just tell it's lots of different stuff going on.
Gotcha.
So if you cast to the right, you're going to cast into, you know, a couple rock piles, like weed edges. You cast to the left, you're going off into the abyss and then pulling your bait back up.
Oh, nice.
Up over it. Depends on how far you get out. So I had my summer waders on. It was all of maybe 32 degrees.
Yeah, you were being a man about it.
It was not warm. And it was funny. So wade out there, you know, make sure my waders didn't leak, which I was good. Get out there a little bit, get up above, you know, above your knee. And then it started getting pretty chilly. That water was really cold. But
well, this was night.
It was at
not
night
during the day. Yep.
So we ended up getting out there about 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like first cast.
The mysterious night bite.
9 o'clock. We get out there on jerkbait.
You pull that out because I mentioned it?
I did.
Good.
Cheap Chinese jerkbait.
Oh, one that Greg gave you?
No, this is different. This is actually a bigger one that I found in my tackle box. A little bit bigger even. And so casted, what did I cast first? Anyway, we were going for anything, basically, any kind of fish. Cast a jerkbait out, and within like 10 casts, I catch a nice fish. And I'm pulling in, it's fighting pretty good. And it's a nice largemouth bass.
Oh.
Like, I didn't even tell you about that. It was a solid fish. It's like, you know, 3.5 pounds.
Oh, nice.
Like the biggest one I've caught out of this lake ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. You know, whatever.
Yeah, they're generally topping out at like 2, 2.5.
Yeah. Yep. And so I was casting right off the weed edge, going right off the weeds, right down into the abyss.
Ooh.
And I'm casting this jerkbait out. And maybe half an hour later, this was probably...
What's your cadence look like on the jerkbait?
9:45. I was trying everything. So I was trying it fast, a fast retrieve with a couple pops.
Okay.
And then a pause and then a fast, you know, just in and out. And then when I slowed it down, quite a bit.
That was the ticket?
That was the key.
Just a hard rip and then let it sit?
Yep.
Hard rip.
And then as soon as I felt a couple pop, pop, and I just laid the screws to it. And just zoomed. And it took off. It only made a couple runs. It wasn't bad. And I had my smaller kind of setup, so a medium light
with the 2 pound line.
No, this is the 20 pound braid with a 10 pound fluoro leader.
Big fish rig.
Yeah, yeah. And a 20 series rod or reel, so it wasn't real crazy power, but zinged a couple times, made a couple runs. I'm like, this is a big something. Pull it in a little bit, and it's a walleye. And I'm like, okay, we gotta get up to shore. Like, we cannot be out here dinking around in the sand trying to get it figured out. So pull him up on shore a little bit, you know, get our bearings about us. And he was hooked. He had that Chinese jerkbait all the way through the mouth, out the side of his lip, or through the outside.
Through the gill.
No, this is like the in between like the gill plates. It went through in his mouth there.
So he T-boned it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And that treble was buried.
So he wasn't going anywhere.
All we had, I had the toothpick.
Or she, I probably would say. But
probably she. Had the toothpick. That was it.
Oh, nice.
Sean was over digging for pliers. My brother was digging through my bag for pliers. We didn't have freaking pliers.
Nice.
We had toothpick. My little toothpick tool. So I'm shoving the toothpick in it, trying to get the dang treble hooks out. And we jacked around for a little while, not too long, which is good. I'm like, we got to get this fish back, like get a picture, get it back and get the treble hook out, get a picture with it. Didn't have any measure it with. So made a mark on the rod, right?
Oh, sure.
Which was my old Fluger Precedent. So like, this is my oldest reel that I have. Haven't done a thing to it. In the thick of battle, measuring this fish, just basically bury my rod in the sand. I mean, the reel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just
right
in there. So we get the mark the rod, and, you know, scratch it in the rod and release the fish. And it took just a couple seconds to go. It wasn't bad.
Nice.
I'm like, yes, got it back out there.
I bet Sean was pumped.
And it was awesome. So then my brother, I'm like, here, Alex, you use this. And he's like, yeah, it won't reel at all. It's just like
grinding.
And you can't even reel.
Just a meat grinder.
So I'm like, okay, I'll fix this. So I take the screw off the top, pull the reel apart, basically. Yep. Dunk it in some water, splash around a little bit, put it on, put the screw back on it.
Good to go. Yeah. Might want to grease that up a little bit later.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Cast it out. And we cast it for another probably half an hour. Nothing.
You got those two fish right away, and that was it.
I was the only one that caught fish. That never happens. I'm never the one that catches it. But yeah, we were all fired up. Get the rod home. We got a couple pictures. Measure it the next day, 25.
Dude.
25-inch walleye.
That's a good metro walleye. Yeah,
that's cool. For public water that gets fish like crazy. Yep. At 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night.
And I've always been...
That's awesome.
...of the belief that night fishing is way overrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was like, you know what? I mean, I had to watch kids anyway, so I wasn't able to go anyway, but
yep.
I probably would have...
It was cold.
...wiggled my way out of not going anyway.
It was not nice to be out.
No.
But we were out there, so... Anyway, that warmed you up anyways. Couple days before Halloween, but yeah, we did the whole...
Did you guys fish that same spot the whole time, or did you try to move around?
Just the point, the whole spot.
Yeah.
That was it. Nice. Three guys just fan casting out, trying everything, trying a couple different baits.
Yep.
I mean, this is a real nondescript shad colored jerk bait.
So kind of silvery.
Yep.
Yeah.
Four and a half.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. So
yeah, dang good fish.
Yeah, and then Halloween, we just did the Halloween thing, trick or treating.
Yeah.
But obviously you got out on a little different adventure.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm just not into the Halloween scene. There's two things I don't like doing.
What don't you like about it?
With my kids, there's two things I don't like doing. I'm not into Halloween, and I'm not into water parks. Those two things. Yeah. I'll do anything else, okay. But those two things, I'm just like, meh, I could take it or leave it.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just not into it. So my wife took the kids to Madrid to go trick-or-treating.
Yep.
And I went fishing. Fished the river.
The river.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. First thing I noticed, major shad kill. There were just shad floating all over the place.
Not good.
So I don't know what to think of that.
Is that like a turnover kind of thing?
Whether it was a turnover thing or water temperature or oxygen thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think of that. A lot of shad floating down
the river. It's pretty low water.
Yeah, but it's not that late in the season. I can't imagine they were dying off. I don't know.
Yeah.
They were good size. I mean, they were 4, 5, 6-inch shad.
Nice.
Throw
some in the freezer when you got home?
No, I didn't. I did put some on my jig as I cast out, though, to see if I get anything, but no go. I didn't even have a bite, but I did do a little bit more exploring.
Okay.
Up around some rock edges and that sort of thing. One thing I like a lot about the fall fishing is just to get a good feel for how the early ice is going to set up.
Yep.
But we could do that for another episode as well.
Yeah, that's some good
on how to break down there. Water and look for fish that'll be set up for early ice.
Well, it seems like there's quite a bit less pressure, especially, you know, now where you just get, it's just the diehards out there.
Yep.
I mean, you don't have normal type people out there fishing.
You're even thinned out the diehards a little bit because we're in Iowa
and
the other diehards are out deer hunting.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, I've ran into several people on the river or fishing that are like, well, I already got my deer for the year, so now I'm out trying to get a big walleye or whatever.
Yep. But like people put their boats in storage, they're not taking them out.
No. Nope.
You know, they're done for the season. So even like, I mean, we were out there pretty late, but it was weird seeing the lake without any boats on.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah. It's like, huh, usually there's some guy out there, you know, half the time it's us.
But yeah, usually it's you.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Testing out the lights on the boat or whatever. Really putting the midnight oil on it.
Great time to test out the lights.
Yeah. Yep. Now that's cool. I mean, the river, you got to do it.
Yeah,
like you never know.
Well, for but there you're really have, pitching.
You had an equal chance.
I'm really swinging for the fences on the river. Like I'm there. There's a few select spots and I'm there for a big fish.
You can't have enough Chinese jerk baits on.
But what killed me was, I feel like that shad. Like there was just a constant flow of shad flowing down the river. So I'm like, these fish are just mowing, and they're just a little bit alive still.
Yeah,
like they're just kind of like flopping a little bit. So. Dang. They were still just getting mowed. The seagulls were going to town.
Yep.
Raccoons coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite the
wildlife buffet out there.
Yep. How long were you out there?
Till dark. When did I get out there? Maybe 4 o'clock. Because I was real torn between doing that or going pheasant hunting.
Yep.
But pheasant closes at 4:30. But there were a bunch of roosters that busted out along the river as I was fishing.
Yeah. Yep. But they know.
It was a real thicket. There's no way I would have been able to get them out of there.
Yep. All right. Not too bad. The old Halloween.
Yep.
Not bad at all.
Nope. Not bad at all.
Yep. So that was my biggest walleye. I think it was
ever.
My PB. Yeah.
Nice.
Because I can't ever remember a time I got anything over like a 21.
My
20,
first thought
22.
Was my first thought was it was a good eater.
Yeah. a couple people asked me that.
Oh, really?
Like, no. There's no way.
Nice.
Nope. Yeah. Sean, I think Sean was still in awe. He's like, I just... couldn't believe it.
Just couldn't believe couldn't you believe plucked that. One out of like, there like that.
I know of them, you know.
Especially
I know
quickly.
They exist, but I'm like, yeah, and it would just pop and set the hook and away we go.
Game on.
Like, that was awesome.
Nice.
Great experience.
Fall fishing's in full swing.
It is. Yep, it is. I need to get one more rod, though. That's my...
Yeah, I can need... Oh, did I tell you, I broke the tip off my...
Your Fenwick. Flute,
my Fenwick, yeah.
And he didn't send it in yet. You sent him an email.
I might have thrown it away already.
Yep. So I think I did that to my St. Croix, and it was totally my fault.
Like, mine was. I was trying to lift a turtle out of the water, and it broke the tip off.
And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's $40, whatever, yeah. and we'll ship you one. Like, yeah. okay, that's fine. Because the new rod's, you know,
yeah.
not $40. But not too bad.
All right, Ben. Big ticket. Ice fishing
items. Do you want to talk new stuff? Can we talk new stuff first?
Yeah, let's tap on it.
What came out this year?
Let's tap on it, yeah.
So, if you guys... This is a plug. Maybe he's listening in, but when I want to listen and like hear about new stuff in ice fishing, Alex Tim on YouTube.
That's who you tune into.
I mean, he's on all the websites. He's on all the, I don't know, pro team staff for every company. Like, he gets all the stuff in advance.
Pro staffer.
Oh yeah, for sure. But he makes good videos on it. Like, he'll give a little rundown of everything that's new, like down to the, you know, real fine little accessory stuff that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, check him out on YouTube if you want a deep dive on this stuff. But
yeah, I would recommend if you're looking for gear.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one to check
out. I did hear. So Eskimo bought out Jiffy, the company yep. that owns Eskimo, bought yep. Jiffy out. That's a big deal.
Well, I don't think a company owns Eskimo. I think Eskimo owns Eskimo.
Artisam.
Oh, is it?
Owns Eskimo.
Oh.
Yeah. And okay. Ion.
Okay.
That's two separate companies.
Okay.
But now it's all the same, and Jiffy is just no more.
They just ate them up and will regurgitate some of their parts out yep. into their new auger
yeah,
lineups.
Yeah, because I don't know. Jiffy might be the first auger company, like gas auger.
Well, I know company. They're the only auger company that their auger spun the other direction. Maybe there's actually something to that.
What, like reverse flighting or what?
Yeah, the flighting went the opposite way of all the other augers.
So counterclockwise then.
Yeah.
Why would it matter, though?
I don't know.
Maybe they had something figured out.
Just did. Just does.
Ours go the opposite way, and it's twice as fast.
I don't know. But
yeah, Eskimo came out with this E40 composite and steel auger.
Yep.
It's a 40-volt auger. You know, electric, battery-operated, all that jazz.
Yep.
Basically, the way I see it, to directly compete with the StrikeMaster 40-volt.
Oh, I think it does more than compete with it.
Yeah. It's interesting because from what I've heard, Ion is still kind of the top shelf auger. So if you want, you know, the most powerful, drill the most holes on a battery, you know, the latest and greatest, that's kind of your Ion is what that's for. The Eskimo, this E40 is a little bit more budget friendly, which actually looking at their prices, that's pretty good
yeah.
for what you get. Compared to all the competition.
Five
and they do a
10 bucks.
Inch, which yep. is nice. Composite and steel. But you don't get as big of a battery. You can't drill quite as many holes, you know, and
yep.
so many inches of ice or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like at the end of the day, if you're not just drilling holes across a whole lake, this would be just fine.
Oh, yeah, for you sure. Know? The one thing that, and you can already start to see it in some of the electric auger game, and a lot of folks were complaining about it when they first started pushing electric augers, is the battery platforms are constantly changing. Like, there's never...
Yep.
Like, how much longer do we have? You know, the E40 just came out. What do you got, 5 years on it? And you're not going to be able to get that battery anymore.
Oh, just not to be able to get support.
Yeah.
Sure. They're not making the batteries. They're not.
That sort of stuff. I don't
know, maybe.
No, I mean, the 5 years, I'm just guessing, but... Like, you're already seeing a lot of that change and turnover in
yep.
augers and batteries platform. That something to think about as yep. you get into it.
Well, and that's where, like, everyone gives it, you know, that everyone does not like where every battery company or every company has their own battery and every battery is different.
I wish they were all the same.
When at the end of the day, it's a 40-volt battery with a different connector. Like,
yep.
it's a positive and negative and, like, some kind of sensor wire coming on it. So...
Yep.
But that's where they make their money, one.
Yeah.
You know, and two, you know, then they don't have to do anything licensing somebody else's technology.
Well, and it kind of locks you into their platform.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So same way we're all DeWalt guys rather
yeah.
than
yep.
Milwaukee's.
Yeah. I can hear people just cussing us out right now.
Why?
The Milwaukee guys.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they're good or bad. I'm just saying that's what we do.
So this one's appealing, the Eskimo E40, because it's weighs under 14 pounds with the composite.
That's with the
that's
blade?
Everything. Yeah.
Woo.
13 and a half pounds, it said. It's
Holy
the lightest
smokes.
Auger in its class, which I think that's kicking on. That might even be lighter than the 24 volt StrikeMaster, which I feel like they're not supporting anymore. I just feel like that's on the way out.
It's on the way out, huh?
Yep.
People just weren't into it or what?
Didn't quite go as planned. Yeah. Hmm. Not enough juice, probably.
Man, that's light.
Yep. But otherwise, it's got all the rest of the stuff that you want. The composite auger, that's cool, which is basically probably a modified pistol bit.
I mean, it digs a hole, right?
You know? Yep. Well, it'll dig your hole, Brett. Yep. Don't worry.
Yeah. That's all we're looking for.
Turbo blades. Kind of cool, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it's 570, yeah, 579 for the composite and 479 for the steel.
Yeah, right now it seems like that's about the newest
yep.
stuff that I mean, at least like the advancement that we're seeing in a lot of ice fishing stuff these days is just augers. Specifically electric auger. They've just gotten so much better over the last couple yep. years, but I don't know.
So yeah, you save $100 on the StrikeMaster, which that one's been out the same for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The lithium 40 volt steel is $500-$600 retail. Jeez.
I mean, for my situation, that light flight, those composite bits that you can hook up on your drill.
Yep.
Those are still like, those are just the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
These other ones, you know, the dedicated auger certainly has their place. I mean, we don't have those conditions here in Iowa.
No.
In the few times I travel outside of Iowa to go fishing, I'm fine with what I got. But yep. like if I was hardcore, we were on Lake of the Woods all the time, definitely would want a dedicated ice auger. But yep. What we got here and how that works.
Yeah, I enjoy what we got going on. Started, if you guys listen back, going way back, we were all StrikeMaster hand augers.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part.
Spoon auger, even.
Yeah, we got a spoon auger, too. But not, we don't use that for production.
No.
It's just for show.
Yeah, that's 100% show. Gosh. You'll kill yourself.
But yeah, really started off with a hand auger from the StrikeMaster laser, which, I mean, you can't yeah. you can't beat that for speed and just ease of use and everything. Just works really well.
What do you... So to me, what these things, these augers specifically really set themselves apart is just the blades.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
So when we're looking at Eskimo stuff, the red stuff, looking at the StrikeMaster, the black stuff.
The turbo blades.
What are the difference between those two blades, Ben?
I don't know. What does the turbo blade look like?
I don't know what the turbo blade specifically looks like, but I know the blade pitch between the Eskimo stuff and the StrikeMaster stuff is quite a bit different. Where typically your Eskimo stuff's a lot flatter blade pitch, and the StrikeMaster stuff's quite a bit more aggressive. And where I see that there's a little bit of trade-off there is if those Eskimo blades get, or not Eskimo, if the StrikeMaster blades even get a little bit dull, they suck. Because they really got to rely on being super sharp. Where with the Eskimo blades, I think you can get by with a little bit duller blade
mm-hmm.
And still get a good cut.
Yep.
But then that's also where you see like a... What's the other, the original composite bit?
K-drill.
The K-drill. That's where, I mean, that's their only selling point at this point is yep. you never have to replace that bit.
And if you do, it's free.
Yeah, and if you do, it's free.
Which that's an interesting deal, but yeah. So looking at the Eskimo bit style, it's just a straight shaver blade.
Yep.
A little bit curved back. So similar to the laser, but just a different.
It's just not quite as aggressive.
Just looks different.
Doesn't have the same
depth
of pitch.
From what I saw, this cuts faster.
Who says that? Where'd you see that at?
Alex Tim.
Oh, okay.
But it's all subjective. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. Does it really matter that one, at one point in time, cut through the ice a quarter of a second faster than the other? Right.
What I'm looking for, I mean, yes, I want something to cut through nice and consistently in a good time. What I look for is one that is not going to jump around on me a bunch. Like when I put it on the ice and start drilling, it's going to stay where I put it.
Yep.
And then also durability of those blades.
Yes.
Like how many holes can I get out of my blades in the first place? Those are my two main things. I mean, yeah, I want a decent, like I'm not, like there is obviously a drastic difference between cut speed between the K-drill and these other augers. Yep. But at speeds, you're just splitting hairs with the other augers at this point.
Yep. Yeah, and most everything you get is going to be pretty fast. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like...
Compared to what we're at, 8-10 years ago?
Even with a gas auger, these are faster.
Oh, yeah. They spin a little bit faster, but not too terrible fast. But.
Yep. But yeah, I think the laser design, you know, it's touchy though. If you get any of your angles off, you're not even cutting a hole.
Yeah, you can't afford to lose it. You can't afford any of that stuff. Because I've had it where the covers come off in my back of my truck before, and then you got a little dent in the blade, and all of a sudden you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Then you sell it on Craigslist and buy another one from Craigslist.
Yeah. Or I just grab your blades.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give you my old blades.
I still have them. Mm-hmm. Haven't even put them on yet.
I still have an extra set of those blades, so you could just use new ones.
But pass them over.
You're not going to put them on. You'll keep using
them. Well, I'll use that last pair you gave me.
Yeah. Oh, man. Otherwise, I think that's the only auger, really, that's new.
Oh, sure.
You know, new for this year, but some of the other ones, like that Alpha.
Yep. Oh, from Ion?
Yeah. The Ion Alpha Plus.
They start to get awfully steep.
So this one is interesting to me because to watch it cut, it's super slow turning. It's like all about just
But it must torque. Be a very aggressive blade.
Yep. It just... Oh, then you're through. Yeah. You know? That's cool.
So does that preserve battery life? Not spinning so fast?
It does. It's 2,000 inches of ice is what they claim.
Yeah.
On a single
charge. Well, I mean, you look at this on the picture.
3.4 inches of ice per second.
The battery pack itself is just as big as the head of the auger.
Yeah, how big is that sucker?
But yeah, I mean, yeah, you look at that. That it's not slow. It's not turning very fast. Oh, there we go. And I do like on maybe most of them have it now. They have the lights on them.
Yeah,
those are pretty slick.
4 amp hours. So that's interesting. That's still the same.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. I don't know. I just don't like green that much.
Hmm.
That plays into it too. I'm not gonna be carrying around a dang Kermit the Frog auger.
My kid would like that. He loves green and black.
Yeah. 40-inch auger length, 3-year warranty, drilling lights, variable trigger, reverse mode. You got the whole bit.
Nice.
Everything. Yep. And then the old, that's what we got. The old Razor auger, the 40-volt lithium ultra. I don't think that's new, but.
No.
I don't see anybody that runs those.
I don't know much about them. I see
them at the ice show, and that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Razors.
Yep. Yep. They had Clam had that 120 volt. Did you see that one? A couple years back?
They don't do it anymore?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Was it with this? Was it just this blue?
Kind of.
They like to do that sometimes.
Yeah, just rebrand it kind of thing. Yep. Yep. I don't know if the old 120 volts scared people away or
a lot of volts, man.
Too many volts, not enough amps. I don't know.
Hmm. Yep. Well, what else do we got?
Yeah, well, what do you run for an auger? What's been Brett's progression of augers?
Okay, yeah, we'll start where I started out. Hand auger, whatever the Eskimo version is of the hand auger, 8-inch. So started out as a man.
The red ones.
Yep, the red hand auger, 8-inch. Bought the whole auger kit for $30. Replacement blades were cost more than just buying the whole new auger itself. You
bought it new though?
Yeah, I bought it at Sportsman's.
Dang. I'm impressed.
Ran that for a lot of years. Gave it to my brother.
Yep.
And then that's when I got this Strikemaster 8-inch bit. No, 7-inch bit.
Yep.
Clam plate and on my DeWalt.
What about the gas one?
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about a gas auger. Jeez. Strikemaster chipper blade auger.
I really got to bait you here.
So I bought that. That's an 8-inch chipper blade gas auger. I bought that in the middle of summer. When was that? I was living in Boone.
Yeah,
that'd have been like 2015.
Yeah.
I only had it for a couple years, but bought it for $100 off a guy in Pleasantville.
Yeah.
It was 101 degrees the day I bought it. I'll never forget that.
And that's hot for here. That's really hot.
Yeah. Dead middle of the summer, and I was like going to buy ice fishing gear.
Like, where's that auger?
That's where you find the hot deals, boys.
That was a nice.
You're looking for a hot deal.
That was a nice setup, though.
Well, it fired right up every time.
Yeah. So it was the solo.
Yep.
The like 2-horse solo powerhead.
Yep.
And then the single chipper blade. So if you guys haven't seen that, you might have to look that up because we're not talking two separate blades there spinning. This is
one single blade
off center.
It cut ice.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yep.
And never had to worry about sharpening it. Ready to rock and roll.
No, you just run it through some gravel a little bit. And then
if I hit bottom, I wouldn't worry about it too much.
No big deal.
No.
Yep.
Sold that for $100.
So after the gas one, so did you run a hand one in concert with the gas one?
No. Once I got the gas, that's all.
It was all gas. You're lugging that sucker out everywhere.
Yeah. Because if I could, if it was thin enough, I'd just chip it open with my spud bar. Yep. If I couldn't do it with the spud bar, I was running the gas.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I sold that gas auger for $100 a couple years later. So dead across even there.
Yep.
And bought a, yeah, 7-inch Strikemaster bit, steel bit. And
used.
Used, yeah. Bought it on Facebook.
Yep.
$40. clam plate, new.
Yep.
But I had a gift card.
Yep.
and I put it just on my regular DeWalt.
Yep.
20 volt. Not brushless. My DeWalt's brushed.
Yours is the old school brush.
But mine was the big Mac Daddy when it came out.
I think yours is like the 985.
I don't know what it is. 980. But it is a freaking
980.
If I'm not watching it, when I'm drilling stuff or something, it'll twist my arm right off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Still pretty torquey.
Oh, yeah. It runs good still. Yep. Runs hard.
And then, yeah, I have a ton of blades for that 7-inch.
Well, yeah, because you don't run yours anymore. Yeah. Oh, actually, that reminds me. Since we're getting this farm, do you still have your earth auger on your gas auger?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I might have to borrow that next spring.
That'd be great. Run a couple gallons of gas through that.
Oh, thing. I will. I got a couple hundred fence posts to put in the ground.
By yourself?
Well, somebody will help me.
I was going to say, like, don't be drilling holes in the ground by yourself because that'll freaking kill you.
Oh, I can do. I've done that.
This thing's torquey.
I mean, I might not do it all day. Right over.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
It'll flip you right over.
Flip you right over.
Call before you dig.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
My brother's that guy.
Yeah, he'll come out and throw some flags up. Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah, so I started with a 5-inch laser hand auger, and that was just money. Bought it brand new. I think it was $90 probably.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college and I bought it. It was a big deal. It's like, dang, this is, you know, just perfect Swedish quality blades, brand new.
What was it, a Mora you said?
No, this is a laser.
Oh, laser. Okay.
Oh, yeah, 5-inch laser hand. I drilled a ton of holes in that thing, even through a foot of ice, more than that. Yep. You know, I just thought that was the coolest thing. Let's see, what did I get after that? Still ran that for quite a while. Then I switched to the 7-inch. Got the 7-inch, ran it on the clam plate.
I mean, you had a gas auger there.
Oh, I got a gas auger.
Your 4-stroke.
Yep, 2-stroke.
What was it, 2-stroke?
2-stroke Eskimo. Oh. The Mako M43.
Yeah.
It's the big, not the big dog, but the middle dog.
It's a pretty big dog, though.
Yep.
And compared to my Solo, it's a pretty big dog.
That was like night and day when we went up to Minnesota and drilled a hole through 2 feet ice.
Oh,
my gosh.
If you didn't have that, you'd be
so nice.
Hosed up.
Yep. And it's got the big handle on it, you know, fired up, no big deal. It just runs like crazy.
That is the thing on, you know, maybe a little chink on the armor on some of our stuff is we just don't get into 2 to 2.5 feet mm-hmm. ice where I just don't have the experience of running these drill operations through that kind of ice.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would think. I mean, when we go up to Clear Lake and it's 18 inches, it eats it just fine. Yeah. But
we're not drilling 40 holes even, probably.
No, not anymore.
Yep. And then, got the 7-inch, decided on the 7-inch on a clam plate, and that was game changer, run a drill on there.
You mentioned in your 5-inch auger, reminded me that have you seen these little tiny like search augers that they got now? They're like an inch and a half just to test. Is that just to test the thickness of the ice or what is
it? So the ones I've seen are like threes.
Oh, this one, the one I saw at Fleet Farm was like an inch and a half diameter.
Was that the one that just measured the ice thickness?
Yeah, it had a ruler almost painted on
it. Yeah, I don't think that one, the threes that I've seen, like you can fit your sonar down at least.
Oh, sure.
Like at least.
Just kind of a search hole. Just punch holes.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're going to run that and run another drill and...
Yeah, you got a lot.
I mean, yeah, maybe if you're mounting it to your quad and getting out, that kind of thing, that makes sense.
Sure. Tournament day.
Hauling extra stuff. That's for real serious guys. I don't know if they'd fit in here.
Yeah, maybe not.
Run the one inch auger.
Not
which by that point, you could just get a long drill bit.
Yeah.
Run a regular drill bit.
Cement bit.
Yeah, there you go. maybe not like a spade bit or whatever, but they make an actual auger kind of bit.
Yeah.
You know, drill a 3/8 hole. I don't know. Yep. See how long it takes you to pop through. So clam plate, that worked out really well on the drill.
Yep.
Broke the drill on the clam plate when we
dulled up the auger.
Destroyed the blades on a rock, which those laser blades, like I said, they're very touchy.
They're touchy.
And yeah. that's exactly what happened. The angle got off, just was not making the progress. And that was our only, we literally only brought that auger.
Yep.
Remember?
We decided to leave the other one at home.
Yes.
Poor choice.
And so it twisted the head off the DeWalt drill.
Yep.
Just cracked the you know, put too much torque between the clam plate and the drill.
Our most viral post ever.
Yeah.
Is the destroyed DeWalt drill.
Yep, on the auger. So then after that, got a different drill, still ran the clam plate.
Yeah.
For another season. And then last year at the ice show, too good of a deal to pass up with the light flight.
Yeah.
I was really had my eye on it because Fishing Kit had it.
Yep.
And he just popped right through. It weighs nothing.
Yeah, it is light.
Oh my god!
I do like though. Still, the clam plate keeps my drill off the ice. Mm-hmm.
Nope, I'm throwing caution to the wind there.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Nope, we'll just throw her in the slush. See how she does.
Yeah, so far it's eaten.
Well, it's a refurbished drill. So that was a refurb drill that I got originally. This is a refurb that I got.
Oh, there you go. Where are you getting these at?
Amazon.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It was like $140, $135 maybe.
With a battery?
No.
Oh.
Just the drill.
Dang.
The big daddy.
Yeah.
The 996.
Ooh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, the cover on the Light Flight, that was huge. They just came out with that snap magnetic cover. Yep. I love that thing.
That was slick.
That is the slickest cover I've ever seen. Even slicker than the cold snap ones that have like the rubber band around them.
Yeah.
And they clamshell like.
I mean, you don't need to bend over for them. You just pop them on the ground, pull it off.
Oh, man.
Snap it right back in.
Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are slick.
So that's what I'm running now. I have too many augers. I need to just.
Yeah, you haven't gotten rid of any.
Nope.
Don't get rid of that earth one.
No. And I've only used that. I literally drilled four holes, post holes for my deck.
I'll run some true.
That was it.
True fuel through it.
Yep, that's what's got in there now. It fired right up.
Sweet,
you'll be just fine. Yep, very good. Well, that was a little dive into our auger life.
Yeah,
that's good.
I can't think of anything else to talk about augers.
No, we could talk about way more than augers.
Could we?
Well, I want to go back just quickly touch on the blade types because. A lot of people probably just see an auger and think, okay, it's an auger. It's going to drill ice.
Yeah.
But there really is a big difference on blade type. So if I guess my rule of thumb, if you see a blade that's a serrated type blade, so, you know, talk about a looks like a steak knife kind of blade versus a straight like razor blade.
Yeah.
Those are going to be more durable in general.
Oh,
There's more surface area there, more cutting surface.
Yep.
It's going to cut a little bit slower potentially. But it's going to be more durable. So if you're out, like the South Dakota guys getting windblown sand over top of the ice, mixed in the ice, and you're just grinding down your blades every time you pop a hole, that's what you need.
That's something you want. But yeah, if you're fishing clean ice, ponds, that sort of stuff, not hitting the bottom.
Oh, yeah, that'll kill you. Hit a rock right on the bottom and just... Yeah.
You won't have any problems.
Bust it, yep.
Nice. Clean lakes,
that sort of stuff. The shaver style blades that are just straight.
Now if you're fishing something like it's got a lot of standing timber in it, some wood, you're kind of getting into some of that sort of stuff. Yeah, maybe you want to think about some more of a durable type blade. Just because you might be hit. I mean, I have. I know I've drilled down through, like when we go up to Brushy, I've drilled through holes and then all of a sudden, bam, I hit a tree.
Yep.
You're just like, shit.
See, I'm still taking my Light Flight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, still do it, but.
Well, I know, but like to me, I already got a free set. That was a big deal at the ice show. You got a free set of blades.
Yeah.
And it was 20-some% off.
Well, yeah, I mean, you already got it, but like someone that's, what do I buy here? What do I look for in going to buy something?
Yep.
Think about the scenarios that you might be fishing and try to buy the thing that would fit those scenarios best.
Yep. And if you learned anything from Brett, go on Facebook Marketplace.
And Ben has blades for you.
Yeah. Message us. We'll hook you up. No. Just 7-inch Strike Master blades.
What about sharpening blades? Have you ever tried it?
Never have.
I haven't either. Every once in a while you see somebody on Facebook says, hey, I sharpen blades, but I've never sent a pair in or anything.
I bet you could. It's just, okay, how much time and effort do you want to spend? If it's me and it's the guy down the street, okay, that's a no-brainer. Yeah. Sure. I'll take you my old blades. Show me what you can do. I'll try them out. If it's, hey, find somebody online and then mail these blades in.
Yep.
That are your only set, which you're probably...
Well, nope, me doing that.
You're probably doing this in the middle of the dang season. You better have
two or three sets.
And then a month later, you get them back, and then you're like, okay, I just paid $40.
I could have paid 10 more bucks and got new ones.
Yeah, I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the manufacturers want you to sharpen them.
No, they want you to buy more.
Yeah, but I mean, they all say, like, do not sharpen your blades. You'll ruin it. It is a very specific, which I get,
but bevel and pitch to that blade that it's probably hard to duplicate unless you're a good sharpener. And I'm not. My work sharp doesn't have that mode.
Now, if you took them to a guy at a gun show, because they're sharpening pocket knives for $2, and you're like, hey, after you're done with my pocket knife, can you touch these up?
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be the way to go.
Might. Have you done that?
No, I just, you see those guys there. That they're just...
I've never ran across a guy that's sharpening blades for $2.
What? You don't go to enough gun shows.
I don't.
They're always, you know, at least 80 years old.
Okay.
They have the oldest looking, you know, sanding knife sharpener apparatus with like 100 different sections of...
grit.
...of sandpaper that are... Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he'll just start in one corner and go...
Work his way down.
Work his way down, and then he'll cut something at the end, like a slice of paper or whatever, and...
There you go, boy.
$2.
$2.
Yeah.
Huh. Man, I need to find that guy. I'll bring him all my kitchen steak knives.
Bring him up here. We'll sharpen them up.
Well, I need to just get my workshop route.
Oh, yeah. Do it. I love that workshop.
Yeah, it runs good.
We should try that. I mean, that'd be a good proof of concept on your old Strike Master blades.
That's not going to work.
Why not?
You got no way to keep the pitch.
Yeah.
You got no guide or anything to hold it.
I do. Yeah, I have the one with guides.
Yeah, so do I, but they're 20-degree guides.
And 50-degree.
Yeah, but I wonder if... Or 15. Mine's maybe. 20 and 15.
I have like the deluxe one that's got multiple guides.
Oh, you got the
not the Ken Onion.
Yeah, the Ken Onion one. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Ken Onion.
I love that thing, though. It works good. Works good on your kitchen knives.
Yep. I haven't touched mine up for a while.
Yeah, I like it. Well, anyway, we're rambling on about kitchen knives and sharpening stuff.
Yeah, what else could we sharpen?
If you guys have experience sharpening sticks. Blades, let us know, because I'd really like to hear honest opinions here.
Yeah.
Show me something where we ran our Strike Master laser blades off a rock and send them to somebody and they touched them.
Not even send them in. If you got like a little home at home deal where we could do it, figure it out. Some sort of hot tip on touching up your blades at home.
If you're using a bench grinder and some toothpaste.
Call in. That
thing up. Yeah.
Call
Please
in.
Please let us know.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll catch you guys next time on
The Short Rod Show.